ശ്രദ്ധയാമോദബലാപകുണ്ടലവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടികീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം അന്തസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീം മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം ശങ്കരാദിഗുരും പ്രണമ്യ ആരഭത്തെ അനുശാസനം ലഭത്തെ മോക്ഷം യസ്യ മതിഃ രമത്തെ നിർഗുണ ബ്രഹ്മണി അഹം സദാ ബ്രഹ്മേവ ഏതദനുസന്ധാനം അപരോക്ഷാനുഭവ സന്ദായകം അചിരാത്. So we saw Abhyasam and Vairagyam, so the two ways in which the mind can be controlled. So Patanjali says that Krishna also uses the same thing. So Abhyasa means again and again repetition. So again and again repeating, again and again repeated doing of something is called Abhyasa. And Vairagya, so Vairagya is of two types. So that is what we saw as to with respect to the world and with respect to Ishvara. So one is called Apara Vairagya, the other is called Para. So Apara means like lower type of Vairagya. So that is Apara means with respect to the world. So knowing the world to be sorrowful, temporary and sorrowful and Nityam Asuram. So as a result of that, being dispassionate towards the world and then towards Ishvara, so the raga should be there, which is higher Vairagya. So knowing Ishvara to be blissful, getting attached to Ishvara. So these two are the ways to control the mind. So if these two are there, then controlling the mind becomes very easy. So controlling as per Krishna, controlling mind happens only through this. So the controlling the mind or the thoughts of the mind depends on these two. But in Vedanta there are also differences, or there is also like some rules like we have to add or put to yoga as well. So whatever Yoga Shastra says. So in Vedanta everything is about Advaitam or Abhedam. Everything is Bhedam, like what we see now. So that has to change to Abhedam or Advaitam. So Dvaitam we see duality. So it's not the thoughts of the mind, as we said, like it's not the thoughts of the mind that cause problem, but considering the dual thoughts or the dual objects. The thoughts are about objects, those objects to be real. So that is what causes problem. So that is called Bheda Bhavana, or the thought of notion of duality or Bheda differences. So differences arises out of duality because we think something to be real. So if we see two things, so we are walking on the road, we see a post and then we see a ghost. So two different places, it's not the same Vedantic analogy, but one side we see a post, other side we see a ghost. So there is no problem created because we know that the ghost is not real. So there is no difference or duality there, two-ness, because we only see the post. Whatever the ghost we saw, we say it's not there, so there is no problem at all. But when we see two, when we see two-ness, so that is where problems start getting created. So when we see the post and the ghost, then like we will get so scared. There are two. So wherever two is there, wherever two-ness or two is there, the dire problems get created. So this two-ness is not something like which is kind of external. It's not external. It is in our mind. It's our mental creation. So Shastras say very clearly that Ishvara created this world out of himself. So that is where again Yoga Shastra differs from Vedanta. So Yoga Shastra says everything came from Prakriti. Independent entity Prakriti. Independent entity of Prakriti created the entire world. But Vedanta says that independent entity of Prakriti is not independent, it's called Maya. And it is Ishvara's Shakti. So Ishvara's own power. So with Ishvara's own power, Ishvara created the world out of himself. So before, so in Sadeva Saumedam Agriyasi Ekameva Advitiyam. Before creation there was only Ishvara. And that Ishvara created the world out of himself. So the Bhedam is coming out of Ishvara. If it is coming out of Ishvara, it has to be Ishvara. So that means the duality is not at all there. So it is not at all there. So Suresh Vidacharya, we have been learning Naishkarmi Siddhito. So there Suresh Vidacharya says, Avicharita Siddha Dvaita Vastu. So Dvaitam is Avicharita Siddham. It is Siddham. Siddham means proven. Something which is experienced. So we say like Brahman, when we talk about Brahman or Moksha, we say, oh, it is not in my experience. So it's not proven. So even if somebody says again and again and again and again that Moksha is there, you have to attain Moksha and that is very your very nature, we still don't get convinced. But about duality we get convinced because it is Siddham, it is proven, directly experienced. But it is Avicharitam, there is no Vicharam there. It is not thought about. So because if we think about Dvaitam or duality, we will find that there is no duality at all. The more we try to analyze, we will find it is not at all there. So there are advanced logic to refute Dvaitam. So these logic have not even been corrected by, we can say, Vyasatirtha in his Nyayamrata, which was refuted by Advaita Siddhi. So Dvaitam still have the fault of Bhedam. How is Bhedam established? How is duality? Duality, we see duality. So how is duality established? What is duality? The nature of it. So there is something, there is a word called Bheda Dhikkhara. There are many other words also which talk about this Bheda Chitsuki. Sri Harsha also talks. So many Acharyas have written extensively about this Bhedam that it cannot be proven. But for our simple analysis, very simple analysis, Dvaitam or Bhedam means differences. So how do differences exist? An entity differs from another entity. So that entity differs from this entity. Such kind of mutual difference is there. There is difference like where one is different from another, that another is different from yet another. So on the basis of which do we measure this difference? So this difference, so when we see two entities as different, how do we measure their difference? There should be some, some standard or some basis on which the difference is measured. So difference is measured on the basis of something, because without that we cannot. So is this difference in the object or like in the other object? It can't be just existing of its own. So does difference exist of its own? So we see a person. So I see you. I don't see difference, any difference. Because I cannot see any difference unless there is somebody else. I see you, I see her, then difference is seen. So this difference should have a basis. What is the basis? Okay, two people. Two-ness is the basis of this difference. So is it the two-ness, like where does the two-ness exist? This two-ness, is it like kind of independently existing? Is the difference independently existing or is it dependent on something? So if I am not there, will the difference be there? We can't say. We cannot really assert. So difference or difference itself means relativity is what is called as different. So relativity or sapekshan, that needs an independent entity or independent substratum. That independent entity is what Vedanta calls as Brahman. Or it is Adhishthanam or Adhara. It is the Adharam for this Bedam. So we see differences. We see differences between two entities. What is the basis of that? The Adharam is Brahman. So remove Brahman, there is no Bedam. So remove our mind. Like temporarily remove the mind inside us, there is no Bedam. Oh, like the Vedam is there for another person. So if my mind is not there, there is no even another person. If there is no another person, then how can there be any difference? So I can't differentiate between you both if I don't even see you. So that means it is dependent on me as Chaitanyam. So Vedam is not something which can be proven. So as per the Shastras, Vedam is not at all there. There Nehanasti Kinchana, that is Nanatvam, is not at all there. So Nanatvam is not at all there. So Pumso Ayuktasya Nanartho Brahma. So it is Brahma. So Krishna says in Uttara Gita that it is Brahmam, this Nanartha. Nanartha, many objects that we see is Brahma. It's not real. It is just an illusion. It is a kind of a delusion. It is an illusion. It is not at all there, this duality. So this duality has to vanish in order for the mind to become calm. The mind always feeds on duality. And we cannot just eliminate the mind, you have already seen, but we cannot eliminate the mind completely. Eliminating the mind completely is only possible through this Advaita Bhavam, because again the mind will come. So merging, temporarily merging the mind onto in sleep, or samadhar means, or samadhi, samadhar means is not permanent. It is not permanent. Again, we will have to take birth. Again, we will have to start. So, destruction of the mind has to happen. So, destruction of the mind means destruction of dual thoughts. So, destruction word itself is wrong in a way that it's a kind of a figurative way. It means this bhedam, if we remove bhedam, automatically the mind becomes calm. So, then the thoughts what that come into the mind don't affect the mind. So, that means advaita bhavam is there. So, that is the way of chitta vritti nirodha, or controlling the mind. Removing the mind is yoga. Removing the mind means removing dual thoughts. Removing dual thought means thoughts can come in, but what we call them, like we term them as real. Remove that reality status to the thoughts, then everything will be fine. So removing that reality status to the thoughts in the mind, like, means removing reality status to the external world. So this is what has been explained in the next shloka. And then, if that is the case, then like what does a Veda Bhavana, there is a Veda Bhavana, dual thoughts. So what about like a mind which is kind of very focused on one entity? So what is that? That is being explained in the next two shlokas. So, Veda Bhavana, Bandamevata, Swatma Samstite, Vishwakaranam, Yuktamanasa, Syatma Bhavanam, Lakshyamevata, Yoga Darshane. So, Bheda Bhavanam. So that means the dual notions or dual thoughts that they are Vedam, difference. So that difference bandham evata, it is a bandham. So it's bandham because dual, the reason why duality, one thing is duality is not real, so it has to be, we have to get rid of duality or dual notions in the mind. So again, duality, we should never think that the external world has to be destroyed or external duality has to be destroyed. It is just terming or like qualifying them as unreal or not real. So most of the problems, when we face problems, so some we solve, some we don't solve. So we have like, if we jot down the, or note down like one, itemize all the problems that we have now, as of now, we'll come up with a huge list. So then what do? We cannot solve all of them. So what we will do, like for demo or anything, like we will have a list, and then what will we do? Whatever are not essential to be removed, we will qualify them, we will say them not important. So that not important doesn't remove them, it doesn't destroy those, the defects or the problems are still there, but we term them as not important or not a problem, so it is as good as it is not there, or it doesn't affect. So in the same way, duality cannot, like it's external, so whatever is there, that cannot be removed. So what has to be done is, knowing that it is not real. So knowing that it is not real. When we know that duality is not real, when we term duality as not real, then everything becomes filled with Ishvara or Brahman. It is when we see duality or consider duality as real, we forget the Adhishthanam. So the entire world is, Shastra say that the entire world is based on names and forms. So everything has a name, everything has a form. This names and forms is what differentiates objects. One thing has a particular name, another has another name. One thing has a form, another has another form. So this is what differentiates objects. So remove those names, forms. Put them, tell them, like we don't have to remove. Just say that it is unreal. Know that it is unreal because names and forms can change. The form changes, the name will change. Name today is one thing, after marriage another name, and then later another name. The form changes, like a person is like lean, like it becomes fat. A person like grows hair, or cuts hair. So many ways forms also change. So they will change, they are not real. Then the underlying substratum of Ishvara will be known. So if that is not known, if Ishvara is not known, which means Veda Bhavanam is there, that will lead to Ragadvesham. It will lead to much, much more than that. So Ragadvesham, Kama, Krodho, Vijayate, Krodha, Bhavati, Sammoha. Krishna says that it will ultimately lead to total destruction. So when we have attachment and aversion, then our buddhi doesn't work. Our buddhi will not work. Our memory will not work. Like our memory will not work because we want to know like what should I do? Like our old rules or whatever we have learned. Is this right? Is this what I'm going to do right? Is it, and then using buddhi to say, okay, is this dharma? Is this right? That will not be able to analyze anything, and then it will lead to our own destruction. So, if we have Veda Bhavanam, it will lead to destruction. This Veda Bhavanam is the cause of the world. So, Veda Bhavanam, Bandham Evatat. So, Tat, that means Veda Bhavanam. That is, Bandham Evatat. It is Bandham. Bandham means it is bondage. Bondage for what? Bondage for controlling the mind. The mind which is focused on Veda Bhavanam. Out of this Bhedam, I'll choose one form and I'll always stick on to that. So it is impossible because when we take that one form, we will differentiate between other forms. So many people try like focusing on just one person. Will that work? It will not work as long as we say that duality is unreal. Because we will differentiate that form with some other thing in the world. Obviously, like the more and more we think about it, other forms will also come in. When they come in, there will be comparison, there will be fight as a result of that in our mind. So it is bandham. In yoga, we have to get rid of Vedam. Veda Bhavanam, we have to. That means not in the mind, because when the mind we remove problems, remove like duality, then what will happen? Externally is still there. When we see something, we will think, oh, it is real. So then it will come in again. So externally we have to, like in the mind, but we have to say that this entire world is not real. The names and forms of the world are not real. Only then Veda Bhavanam will vanish. If it doesn't vanish, then Swatma Samsthitehe Bandham Evatat. It is a bondage for abiding as our own self. So we are able to abide on our own self when we don't have differences. So when we have differences, we get identified with those differences. Why would we see difference in the world? If we abide as a self, then we are like blissful, happy. But the moment we see differences, we will get attached to them. We will say, this is my people, this is my thing, this is their thing. We will differentiate. When that differentiate starts, we will not be able to abide as the self. So that's why Mahatmas, like Amma, who abide as the self, they don't have any difference. So the corollary also works. If we find realized masters, they don't differentiate between people. They don't have any difference. Forget people, they don't differentiate between entities also. They don't differentiate between anything in the world, because they only see everything as the self. So wherever differentiation is there, Atman or Swatma Samsthiti, abiding as the Atman is not possible. And this Bhedam is Vishwakaranam. This Bhedam Bhavanam is Vishwakaranam. It is the cause of the world. So this doesn't mean that when we have duality in our mind, or Vedam in our mind, automatically the world is created. Of course, that is also a philosophy in Yoga Vasishta. So Ishvara creates everything. When Ishvara creates this world, the so-called world, the world is filled with Ishvara. Because everything is Ishvara. If everything is not Ishvara, still it is Ishvara Leela. So which means, everything is controlled by him. So whatever is controlled by him, it's like puppet show. So Ishvara is pulling this. I think that analogy is used either in Jnanapana or Harinamakirtana. It is like a puppet. He is the puppeteer who is controlling everything. So everything is controlled by him. But when we have Veda Bhavana, we create the real Vishwam. The Vishwam that we see now. That means it is based on duality. Ishvara's creation, that Amma always is. Ishvara's creation is always blissful. Ishvara is blissful. So whatever comes out of Ishvara also has to be blissful. So it will be blissful because it is filled in and out with Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. With a different name and form, that's it. When we think the name and form to be real, we create Vishwam, that Vishwam which causes problem. That Vishwam which causes problem. So the Vishwam, so earlier it was said Raga, like we have to get rid of Raga towards the Vishwam. So how can we get rid of Raga towards the Vishwam? We can get rid of Raga towards the Vishwam if we remove Bheda Bhavana. So remove Bheda Bhavana. So don't have any Bheda Bhavana in the mind. Remove Bhedam in the mind. Say that okay, everything is one Ishvara, then automatically attachment to the world will get reduced and attachment towards Ishvara will increase, and therefore yoga will also be possible. So now what about, okay, that is fine, okay, if Veda Bhavanam is there, when the mind goes the mind like it will not be able to focus on the self, abide as the self. There is no yoga possible. Yoga means abiding in the self, seeing everything as the self. So that self alone exists. So if Bedam is there, other than self, everything other than the self comes, because self is one alone. Wherever there is two-ness, there should be something apart from the self that comes in. So, yuktamanasasya atmabhavanam lakshyamevata yoga darshane. So, yuktamanasasya atmabhavanam. So, the atmabhavanam. So, the atma, I am the atman. I am the atman, that bhavana of a yuktamanasa. So, yuktamanas means like a mind which is kind of focused. A mind which is controlled, a mind which is always focused. So such a mind will always focus on Atman. So that mind, such a focused mind's Atma Bhavanam, that I am the Atman, that everything is the Atman, that is Lakshyam Eva. That is the Lakshyam. So that is the Lakshyam of Yoga Darshana. In Yoga Darshana, whatever is the Lakshyam, whatever is the goal, whatever is called as Yoga, Samadhi, Kaivalyam and all in Yoga Darshana, that is what it is there. The notion, or it's the Atma Bhavanam, I am the Atman, that Bhavana, that thought of that mind which is always focused, that means that mind becomes the Atman, the mind resides or merges into the Atman, or the mind has only that thought as the main thought. Everything else comes and goes, but this is what the mind identifies itself with. The mind says, I am Brahman, that it always says. So many times this primary thought or secondary thoughts and all, the mind is kind of capable of it. So we often see that like we go to office. So at the same time, like when we are in office, there are other priorities also. So like we may talk with people, we may do this, we may do that, but still our focus will be on the work. If we are focused on the work thought will still be there. And based on that, we will adjust everything else. We will talk, chit-chat for a while. Like if it is goes a little more, 10-15 minutes, we will say, oh, I have work, I am going. So that happens because there is that focus. That focus is there. Because there is one primary thought. The work is the main thought. So for a mind which is focused, the main thought is that Atman. That Atman is the main thought. The main thought is the thought of the Atman. So that is the lakshyam. So that if that has to be attained, then Veda Bhavanam has to go. If Atma Bhavanam has to come, Veda Bhavanam has to go. Veda Bhavana, like the dual notion of duality has to vanish. If the notion of the Atman has to be maintained. So that is what was mentioned. Now, as to, in brief, like what happens to, like how this Yukta Manas, or like the Manasaha, the mind which is focused, that can be attained. And in order to, like, if it has to attain again, the world has to be renounced. If the real world is not renounced, the mind will not calm down. That is what is being explained here. And the ways to, so next is the ways to control the mind. Or yukta, make it yukta. Yukta is a word that is used by Krishna in many places. So it just means a focused or controlled, there is a properly directed mind. Properly directed, properly focused mind. So such a mind, how can such a mind be attained? So that is being explained in the next few shlokas. I think like that continues till at least 5 shlokas. We will see if you... Kshiptamanasa Yogabadaka Yogabadaka Shigramevadu Shigramevadu Ram kritam puna, shoka purnavi, shvantyajet sada, anyatana pra, tavyashodhanam. So, kshipta manas. So, kshipta in a way means kind of distracted. So, sometimes the mind gets distracted into many things. So, this Vedam Bhavana, whenever Vedam is there, many things are there, the mind gets distracted. So, that way when we sit for Dhyana, sometimes we find that the mind gets distracted so much. So, the distraction, so this is the beauty of Vedanta, right? distraction. Why are we thinking about other things? We close our eyes, we think about a lot of things. Why do we think? Because we give some importance to them. The importance is that they are real. Remove, they are not real, we will not. Nobody sits for meditation and thinks about ghosts. Because ghosts don't exist. So if ghosts don't exist, why think about ghosts? So people won't think about ghosts. If you still think like that's a problem, I can't solve it. Maybe Dr. Mama can solve it. Not me. So if you see, it's a problem. So like when we assert, when we qualify something to be real, when we say something is real, we give a value to it. When we give a value to it, then we tend to think about it. So then distraction happens. And this distraction is a kind of a yoga bhadaka. It is an obstacle for yoga. Because yoga means the one thought, yukta manas. Like the mind should be yukta, focused. There should be one thought, that one thought of Atman. So if other thoughts like chitta means the mind can go anywhere. The mind will go here, mind will go there, mind will run here and there and here and there. So if the mind runs here and there and here and there, then there is no yoga. So yoga cannot happen. So if that happens, so in these two shlokas, the words are cut into kind of like, there is a rule in grammar. In grammar, there are like four, a shloka is split into four quarters. And then you can continue the words in the next quarter also. So here it is, shigram eva dhu, we said. But shigram eva dhuram kratam manah. It's a continuation full. It's kind of fine if you can ignore, don't think so much. But shigram eva dhuram kratam punah. Shigram eva dhuram kratam. So shigram eva. So when that happens, shigram, like soon itself, like we should make it. Dhuram means far. Send it away far. So when something, like when somebody, we know somebody is going to create some problem, then we send the person away far. So there are times like in offices and all, not here, but in offices and all, when some big occasion comes, there are people who cause problems, so they will be sent. You have a lot of leaves, right? Just go, take a leave. Actually the leave is not for the person to enjoy, but the person will create problems, so please. It's a polite way of saying, please go away. So we should, whenever the mind gets distracted, that distraction should be sent away. And then the distraction, whatever is causing the distraction, that has to be sent away, shigram, soon. Because once distraction comes in, it is a problem. So, this is something that personally I don't believe in fully, not this. Believe in the next part what I'm going to say. So some people say, even my sister is a fan of such statements. So that, you should observe the mind. So after some time of sadhana, you'll be able to observe the mind. So if the thought comes in, you'll be able to say, oh thought, don't come, go away. You'll be able to say, that's what people say. But maybe it works for those people, but normal people it won't work. And then there are also problems as a result of that. So when some thought comes into our mind, we send it away soon. And there may be like some time, like if it breaks the barrier, then it may be a big problem. So other than that, it is tough to implement. And then many times, for others' sake, so people like Amma show emotions. Maybe not in the mind. If it's not in the mind, then it cannot be shown externally. So they show emotions for others. So they have to show emotions for others, because else like it will be a problem. Somebody comes from traveling like 10 hours to see, get a darshan of Amma, and they come for darshan, and when they get darshan, Amma like maintains like the thought is coming that they are good, then what will happen? It will be bad for them. So Ramana Maharshi, like we can find, when we read his life history, we can find that how compassionate he has been. Sometimes like he will not even say anything, but like he will look at people and give them his plans, because like they are like deserved. They are worthy of it. They deserve it. So that means sometimes like these thoughts and all will come in. The right way to control or the right way to destroy them. So Ramana Maharshi himself says, Eka chintanat nashametyada. First try controlling the thoughts through breath control of prana. So through breath control we can control the mind. So try controlling the mind, and then we have to destroy the mind with one thought. So destroy the mind with one thought means after that the mind doesn't exist. No, it just means that the one thought of Brahman alone is real. All other thoughts are not real. Then even if thoughts come, the mind, the body and all will react or respond in the same way. But the mind is still focused on that one thought. So that means there will not be any, the person will not be affected. So as long as the thought comes, the reaction is there. The thought goes, the reaction vanishes. So in US, one Sanna was giving a speech. So she was speaking and in between she called the mic person. So she was sitting on stage, the mic person came. So he came very near. Immediately Amma turned. One second she got scared because the person was so close. She didn't expect the person to come so soon. So that it's an instinctive behavior, instinctive nature. So what is there like fear for a Mahatma like Amma? There's no fear. But still once again, what is that? It's called instinctive. So such instincts, like when my thoughts come, it will be there. The next moment it will vanish. Next moment it will vanish if we put like our term them as unreal. So that is the only way. So just observing the mind, like our thoughts that come into the mind, don't let them in. All are good for sadhakas, for temporary purposes. Temporary purposes, later we cannot say. So that is why Vedantas believes in titiksha. Okay, no offense to my sister or anybody who says that. But Vedanta talks about titiksha. So Chinmaya in his Vivekachudamani book, he says beautifully that titiksha, that is the definition of titiksha, sahana shilata. So titiksha means sahana shilata. So we are following everything right. So everything by the book, like we are doing like all the sadhana, we are learning well. And like when some thought comes into our mind, like we are trying to stay away. But situations will be put into situations where things will go back. We will be put into situations where things will definitely go back. And that is Ishvara's way of testing. So then we should have forbearance. Forbearance, so it's called. So Sahana Shilata, we should be able to have Sahana Shakti. Oh, it is Ishvara's will that it has come. So at that time, like if we say, oh, it is coming to our door, like I will push away, that means we'll miss out on opportunities also. Like another perspective that many people take is everything life is in teaching in one or the other way. Maybe if that thought comes in, we can learn something. We can learn something out of it. So there will be situations like that where we cannot stop things outside. So what matters is we should be able to, like wherever the mind gets distracted, quickly we should be able to pull the mind back. So Krishna also follows the same view. So when he says yato yato nischarati manah chanchalam astiram tatastato niyam etat atmanyeva vashamaye. So whenever the mind gets distracted, runs away, then like, when you know that the mind has run away, pull it back. So Ramana Maharshi used to say, oh Maharshi, people used to ask him, the mind is running away, what to do? And like I don't even realize that the mind has run away. So then when you realize, then pull it back. With practice, it will become perfect. With practice, you will not be able to instantly pull it back. But you have to, the moment you know, oh, the mind has gone away, oh, it is fine, let the mind also enjoy. So it is, the mind is Brahman, right? So we should be compassionate towards the mind, let it enjoy. If we leave, we go on and on and on and on, it will never end, it will go on. So immediately, that's why here it says, Shikra. So other views and all, you can ignore, like, because the people have their own opinion, people have their own preference. And then like today, in a day where like Western scholars are like doing more and more, and it's kind of appealing because it appears to be like very simple in implementation. Shastras, our shastras, whether it is Yoga Shastra or any other, it is very tough to implement. So we cannot do any pranayama. So when we say pranayama, we cannot do any pranayama because we don't have yama niyama. Without yama niyama, you can't do pranayama. Without asana, you can't do pranayama. Asana means you should sit. You should sit, you should be able to sit. So you should be able to sit. So you should be able to sit. You should be able to sit straight. You should be able to sit for at least 2 hours. As like what Patanjali says is, you should be able to sit for 2 hours without any break. That is what the Bhashyas of Yoga Sutra says. That we should be able to sit like that. So who can sit? The people cannot sit. So if people cannot follow the Shastras, then what do? The easier way is, Western scholars write something. Oh, you do this, you do that. And then people are all fond of doing things. And that's why Vedanta is different. In Vedanta, we do a lot of things. But ultimately, Vedanta says that nothing to do. It is you remove all the doing. You remove, like what you are doing is not doing anything. You are just undoing things. So things have been done, so you are undoing. Already like Bheda Bhavana has come into our mind, so we have to undo it through Abheda Bhavana. Actually what is there? Only the Atman. I am already the Atman, so it is undoing. So that undoing, like you can do anyway, like it doesn't matter much. There are no rules. And it will be very tough. Undoing is always very tough. So we have got a cut. If it has to be stitched, what will happen? Like it will pain. So is the pain ended? No. When we remove the stitch also, sometimes it will pain. So then like we will not want to do it. But it is more painful than doing something, oh, you can attain Ishvara, you can attain bliss, do this, implement this and all. Foolish. And then we should always remember never to fall into the trap of such Western authors and all. It's kind of dangerous because it's not proven. Oh, Amma said me to learn, read this book. Okay, fine. Go and ask Amma then specifically. Amma says so, all those, like Amma says millions of times to learn the Shastras. People don't listen, then Amma says, okay, at least say this. The Shastras have been tested for centuries. It has been tested for centuries. And then there are Mahatmas who are living the Shastras. So something that has been verified from time immemorial is much better worth trusting than what which has not been tested. Or what has been just used now, temporarily or temporarily created or not even tested. So that's where like, oh, Ramana Maharshi also did the same. Ramana Maharshi didn't do the same. So people say Ramana Maharshi also did the same. Ramana Maharshi didn't do create a new Shastra. His followers do say that, but Ramana Maharshi created, like whatever Ramana Maharshi wrote, works and all, it is based on a Shastra. Upadesha Saram is taught by Paramartha, by Chinmaya Mission, many other missions also. Upadesha Saram is based on the Shastras. We can find Shastras. So Ramana Maharshi's words are like just a resonation of Shastras. He didn't create anything new. And like just because he said who am I process doesn't mean like it's not based on Shastra. It is based on Shastra, what he says. It is Vichara Marga. And there are people like, okay, there are successful masters like Nisargadatta Maharaj or many other people who have realized by saying who am I, that is enough. Just be the self, nothing is enough. Yes, fine. Just be the self, nothing is enough. Try it out. How much it works. As long as like you go home and then like your wife comes and shouts at you, it will work. And then it won't work. That is why we have to follow things which have been tested rather than just using views we find. Yes, in Vedanta, anything we can accept. But anything we can accept means like where will we put the limit? How do we put the limit or what to accept or till when to accept? So that till when to is the Shastra. Shastras are the basis for a sadhaka. A sadhaka who wants knowledge, Shastras are the basis. It should be based on the Shastras that we should verify each and every statement. We don't have to reject statements of people. We just have to ignore them if they are not as per the Shastras. And if we learn our Shastras, anything like even psychiatrists or psychiatry or any other branch, we will have solution for anything and everything in the Shastras. We have in the Shastras. So Shastras do have, so that's something that we have to remember. But here, so not getting distracted too much. So the mind which gets distracted, pull it back as soon as possible. The mind will get distracted. So it's not like easy to just avoid thoughts coming into the mind itself. So the thoughts come into the mind. I see the thoughts. People do make statements like people say, I see Ishvara. I see thoughts coming into the mind. I'm able to see thoughts so clearly. Then what is the problem? If you can see thoughts clearly, then you should be realized. If you are realized, you don't have to tell it. Right? There's no need of telling. Oh, I am realized now. I am blissful. I can see bliss. That means like something is wrong somewhere. Because such statements like people do make. And my sister also often makes such statements because people get easily carried away. Like when they read books or like hear things like this. So traditional acharyas never will fall for all of this. So thoughts may come or go, like it doesn't matter. I can see thoughts, no big deal. If you do some sadhana, you can see thoughts like we see other people. What matters is, are we able to remain blissful? If we are blissful, we don't have to say externally. We won't say externally we are blissful. Amma will never say, oh, I am always happy. You can know from experience that whoever says I am happy, they are not happy. They'll say, how are you? happy, blissful. The next moment, I was like, how is the project going? Hello, that is rude. Don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. So that's how it will be. So the ultimate goal is to remain blissful. It doesn't matter whether you observe the mind or not. As long as you term the mind, the Shastras say, the term the mind, or like the thoughts of the mind, as unreal, then it's fine. So, Shoka Purna Vishwam Tyajet Sada. So, renounce the Vishwam. So, if the Chitta Manasa means distracted mind, why does the mind get distracted? Because of Bheda Bhavana. Why does Bheda Bhavana arise? Because we think the world to be real. So, okay, fine, forget like unreal, oh, Jagan Mithya and all are like very easy in theory. When it comes to right situations, it's not easy. So, Krishna says Anityam Asukam. He doesn't say it is unreal. Anityam is unreal itself, but it's a different word for it. It means temporary, changing. So, Shokam, Shoka Purna Vishwam. The world is Shoka Purnam. Shoka Purnam means it's filled with Shoka. That is enough to renounce. We don't have to say the world to be unreal. Just say the world is Shokam. So it is Shokam. There is Shokam in the world. If there is, we won't jump into a cage where a tiger is there. Because it will cause us suffering. It will cause us sorrow, so we won't do it. So therefore, that is enough. Shoka Purna Vishwam Tyajet Sada. Renounce this world as Shoka Purnam. So when we say Shoka Purnam, it actually means duality is not at all there. But when we say something is Shokam, this entire world is Shokam, then we will not nourish it. It's an easy way. So unreal, like many people, like when we say this duality is not at all there, what is there is the Atman. So when you see anything of the world, remind that it is not real. Remind that it is not real, that is very easy in theory, but not in practice. But in practice it is easy to know that the world is Shokam, because we have experienced it also. We experience here and there, we experience the Shoka nature of Shokamayam, nature of the world. So, Shoka Purna Vishwam Tyajet Sada. And if we don't do it, what will happen? Oh, that is fine, the world only, right? Poor world, let it come. So, poor world, let it come. So, it will be like the camel story. Like the camel comes into the, like a person was traveling with a camel in the desert at night. So, he was sleeping and he thought, okay, it's very cold outside, let me give the camel some space. The camel put its head a little bit, like it moved its body. And then finally it kicked the person out and it stayed inside. So that's how it will be. So if we give even little bit of space for this Shoka Samsara, it will creep in completely. So Anyatha Na Praptavya Shodhanam. We will not be able to attain Shodhanam, or cleansing of the mind, purifying of the mind. So that means removing the thoughts, removing Veda Bhavana, removing thoughts, this multiple thoughts, this distracted mind. The mind has so many thoughts. There is no one primary thought. If that one primary thought has to be there, then we have to remember the world to be Shokamayam. So if we remember the world to be Shokamayam, then we will be able to control the mind. Then like it can be focused to the Atman. So in a way, we can say there are two things here. So the mind has to focus on Atman, and at the same time, the mind also has to remember that the world is Shokamayam. Both have to be there. If one of them is strong, the other will automatically happen. The world, we pull the mind away from the world, automatically it will focus on the Atman, because other than the world, there is only the Atman. If the mind focuses on the Atman completely, then it will automatically drop off the world. So one of these is implemented fine, but both perspectives we should remember. Atman is eternal, blissful, and the world is Shoka Purnam. Both if we remember, it becomes very easily taken. At least if Shoka Purnam, if we remember, then the mind can focus on the Atman. If we focus on the Atman and then like don't remember the world to be unreal or sorrowful, then the mind will again and again get distracted. So this is much, this much, like we'll see just the next shloka and then stop. So this is like Shodhanam, cleansing of the mind. So cleansing or purification of the mind. But like we want to destroy the mind. So now like, okay, you said, okay, the mind has to focus on the Atman. The mind should be like this, mind should be like that, Veda Bhavanam should go and all those. So I am fed up of it. Now you talk about how to destroy the mind. How to totally control the mind. Tell me how to control the mind. Oh, Shoka Purna Samsaram and all, you have to think, okay, fine. With that the mind can be cleansed. The mind can be like temporarily controlled, we can say. But I want to know, is there any sadhana in order to control the mind? Till now, Shoka Purnam, it works, but it doesn't work always. So, is there any sadhana to control the mind? So, ईप्सितं यदि मानसस्य तु रोदनं तदा सेवनं कुरु अष्टसाधनम् अंगरूपकम् यस्य सेवनम् शांतिदायकम्. So in we'll see later this these two shlokas. But ipsitam, if you want the rodhanam, control of the mind, so if you desire, okay, shoka purna sansaram and all will work to an extent. So if you wish to control the mind, if you want to control the mind, oh, bheda bhavanam, vishu shoka purnam and all are valid. But first you should learn to control the mind. Just saying, like closing your eyes and saying, okay, the world is sorrowful. The mind is automatically running. When the mind is running, like if you repeat like shoka purna sansaram and all, it will come a little bit, but then it will again go. It will come, it will go. It won't be under control. So controlling the mind, the sadhanas to control the mind. So if you wish to control the mind, then stada sevanam kuru. Sevanam means serve. So serve what? Ashta sadhanam. So ashta sadhanam, they are angarupakam. I don't know, like grammatically it's correct, but the words are kind of rhyming well. Because ashta sadhanam, ashta sadhanani. So it's called ashta anga yoga. So it is sadhanam. But it is angarupam. So angarupam means this form of anga, one part, part by part. So part by part, eight sadhanas are there. So what is meant here is ashtanga yoga. Esya sevanam. And if we do ashtanga yoga, shanti dhayakam, it will give shanti. So what the ashtanga yoga ends in samadhi, absorption. So in samadhi means we are able to focus on one thing. Then the mind becomes calm. It's a temporary calmness samadhi is. So like after the samadhi, the mind is now under, we can pull the mind, take the mind again any time to samadhi, control it. So then we can control the mind, say, tell the mind, Kavishwami Shoka Purna Man, focus on the atman very easily. So that is what we can do if we perform this sadhana. So knowledge, like one side, like in a way we can say there is on one side there is knowledge, one side there is sadhana. Sadhana also has to be there, jnana also has to be there. Jnana is permanent. So when we say the world is temporary, Atman alone is real, that will instantly give us yoga. But in order to do that, the mind has to get some, do some prerequisite. That is what is called as sadhana. This is ashta sadhana, ashtanga yoga. So we will see that later. Okay, namaskar.